name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Store up treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Every one of us in here, myself included, could confess before God and before one another in these moments that God is not yet entirely the treasure of our lives. Not that He's worth being the treasure of our lives, but God has not yet become the very treasure of our lives, where our hearts lie all the time. This world, our enemy, constant distractions are thrown. The last thing He wants is for us to see our treasure revealed to us, that we might long for Him all of our days. We are all distracted. Thank you, Jesus, for Lent. Thank you, Jesus, for Lent. Because it's in Lent that our treasure wants to present Himself. It's in Lent that He wants all of our distractions to fall by the wayside. And He wants our hearts to be fixed upon Him. Because He loves us and He knows the great benefit of the treasure that He is for us and to us. And that's what Lent is all about. Reconfiguring. Losing the distractions. Letting God reveal Himself in such a way, opening our souls to it, so that we might encounter the greatest treasure any of us could ever imagine, and lose everything for the sake of it, and follow Him. So we're now in the healing season of Lent. And in this healing season of Lent, our Lord wants us to turn ourselves to Him, to face Him appropriately, off of the distractions, onto His goodness, onto His love, onto His mercy, onto His kindness. But also in that there's something else. As we face Him, we learn so much better how to turn and live towards one another. How to be towards one another. That we face one another appropriately also. So we're turning to face God, and from God, we are turning to face one another more rightly. Listen to our Lord's words in the Gospel of St. Matthew in chapter 6. He says, when you fast. Oh, wait, you know what? It doesn't say if you fast. Sorry about that. When you fast, do not be like the hypocrites. Don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who's in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret, He will reward you openly. We don't fast for men. We don't fast towards men. Our fasting and our increased prayer, our only objective is to face and be brought to an encounter with our God, so that He might reveal Himself to us, and that He might mercifully show us our illness, show us our disfigured humanity, show us our fallenness, so that we might call out to the Lord with an authentic cry for His mercy, and that we might encounter mercy distributed directly to our deepest parts of our soul, and know that my God and your God is a God of mercy and healing and restoration. That's who He is. It's who He is. So when we fast to our Heavenly Father alone, that we might know Him more and be transformed by what He shows us of Himself. Our fast is a prescription, not a punishment. A prescription towards health. It's not to torture, it's to heal. To bring us back, actually give us strength in our legs and balance within the lower parts of us to turn from all the distractions. To turn back to Him, to face Him, which is where our posture has always belonged since the dawn of creation when He created us. He created us to look upon Him. He created us to be with Him and to know Him. God, through the prophet Joel, sets up Ash Wednesday in Lent for us so very beautifully. Our epistle from Joel chapter 2 begins in verse 12. I'm going to begin in the first verse. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is at hand. That's Ash Wednesday. That's the beginning of Lent. The alarm is sounded for us. Wake up. Wake up from whatever you've been thinking. Wake up from this dream state of falseness. Wake up and see clarity again. Wake up and find the peace that comes from clarity in me. The ashes on your foreheads are the ringing of the bell by our attention once again. To turn our attention to Him. To remind us that the day of the Lord on our foreheads. Place the reason they're put on our foreheads, they place our mortality right before us so that our mortality is on the what? 10,000 breaths left. It's on our forehead, so it's right in front of us. Why? To pray and phrase. Well, most of you are familiar with it. Carpe diem. That's what Ash Wednesday and then if you have another, the next moment God has given you in Christ Jesus, because now is the moment and the time that He's given breath. Now you have mercy through authentic repentance to find healing, to discover what mercy really Lent, more and more the theme of our whole lives. We're reading today. Now, therefore, says the Lord, weeping and with mourning, so rend your heart, Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, He is tender, and He is of great kindness, and He relents from harm. Now you see, we do mourn. We do grieve. What does that mean? He shared with us last Sunday in our discipleship class. It means turning to Him with Adam's lament. Following along in the handout that He gave, I was affected by Adam's lament from the fall of paradise, and in it I heard the cry of my own heart. Something resonated inside with me. Let me just share with you a bit of what he read. This is Adam's lament. Remember this. It's Adam lamenting what he lost. Can you imagine? This Adam who dwelled in paradise, such union with God, walking with his Creator in the garden, learning from Him. He lost it all. And this expresses his lament. And that lament is in me. I believe it's in each of them. Because we weren't created for this. We were created for paradise. For God. Adam's lament, just a portion. My soul wearies for the Lord, and I seek Him in tears. How should I not seek Him? When I was with him, my soul was glad and at rest, and the enemy could not come nigh me. But now the spirit of evil has gained power over me, harassing and oppressing my soul. Do you feel like that? The enemy constantly harassing and oppressing our thought life, our soul, our innermost parts. He says, so that I weary for the Lord even unto death, and my spirit strains toward God. And there is naught on earth that can make me glad, nor can my soul take comfort in anything, but longs once more to see the Lord, my soul's hunger may be finally appeased. That's the yearning of the Christian. A yearning that by Christ is fulfilled and can be fulfilled here, now, and in eternity. And remember who we're turning to with this grief and lament within ourselves. We are not turning to a God who has just been waiting to dispense punishment upon us. We turn to God, as the great prophet Joel expressed, to the God who is gracious, who is merciful, who is slow to anger, who is filled with great kindness. This is our God, and He relents from doing us harm. So in Lent, we are to turn back to this God with this longing. Why? I promise you this, so that your longing can be eased. And you can be filled with joy by the return of truly who you are again. Because Christ has made that way to paradise. And this is how we face God. Remember this, part of the journey back to our true selves and back to paradise is also how we face and live towards one another. Never forget, these prescriptions in Lent are fasting, our increased fellowship with God, and our almsgiving are not only open our souls to His wondrous healing work, but through that healing work we are being transfigured to become our most true selves, which is like Him, living more like Him towards one another. God created us from the very beginning in that paradise to manifest precisely who He is through us, His creation, to all of creation. Think about that. This is your purpose, that you might so fellowship and encounter God that you become a mirror reflection glorifying Him to all of creation. That's what we were created for, so that we might become that. And actually in Lent, as we put into practice the likeness of God towards one another, to experience the joy of what it is to be His vessel, that He expresses Himself. It fills us with joy. We're being ministered to as much as the one to whom we're ministering. St. John Chrysostom, he says this about the Lenten fast. Do you fast? Then feed the hungry. Give drink to the thirsty. Visit sick. Do not forget those who are in prison. Have pity on the tortured. Comfort those who grieve and those who weep. Be merciful, humble, kind, calm, patient, sympathetic, forgiving, reverent, truthful, and pious, so that God might accept your fasting and might plentifully grant you the blessed fruits of repentance. In Lent, by grace, we yoke ourselves with Christ in a cooperation to put off and to put to death the fruit borne by the fallenness and the illness of the soul that we inherited. At the same time, by the same grace and the same yoke, we put on Christ, His nature, and the good works He longs to do in and through us. In doing so, as the church fathers say, we actually are becoming as we're doing. That means, when we show mercy to someone else, we are experiencing Christ's mercy within ourselves, flowing for the benefit of someone else, and we are the blessed. In being kind, we are growing in kindness and being filled more and more with the kindness of God to overflowing. And when we visit the sick and comfort those who are hurting, we are knowing the compassionate God and becoming filled filled with his compassion for one another. Lent is truly the springtime of every good and wondrous benefit God has for us in his kingdom. It's the season for us to be enabled to come back to life again, so that we bear and enjoy the fruits of that very kingdom in our own lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.